Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Talam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parent and Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show tonight guides our listening audience to an interactive conversation on effective parenting. In this episode, we'll focus on developing leadership skills in children. Our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience with the host. I bring to you tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night as we have returned back to normal time here on IWDM Radio. And I want to say for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, Dr. Slaw-Dean and myself, we want you to know that this is, in fact, your learning lab. So we do invite you to ask questions or make comments on any of the information that we disseminate tonight or in future learning labs, even during the time of Ramadan when we had the special time. You may have questions in regard to some of the things that we said then. And we want those who may just listen in and just take in all the information, if it's resonating with you, we would like to hear from you also. You can give us the greetings and let us know that if what you're hearing is benefiting, we would love to hear from you. Those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, for you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. And our engineer will alert me that we have a caller in the queue, and we will come to you for your question or your comment. We also want it be known that tonight that we will be talking about Eid al-Fitr, its significance and impact that it should have on the family life as we conclude 2022 Ramadan. So we do invite you to participate and to share with us your experience in terms of the Eid al-Fitr and the impact concluding Ramadan this year. We also have some staples that we like to just give to those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, that this Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we have a foundation for it. We use Al-Quran and the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means the prayers and the peace be upon him, in demonstrating the Quran is also a foundation, and the tafsir, which means the clear explanation by our beloved leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, of the Quran and the life example of the Prophet as foundational sources for much of our information. And also we have established, as Imam Muhammad has said, that in definition is direction. And I also have added also correction, because to misdefine something means that you can be misdirected and you would be incorrect on many of the things that we have in our mind. So we've given a simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We simply say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility not only for mothers but also for fathers in helping to nurture and cultivate those vital components that comprise the human being. Also, the role and responsibility for parents is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities first and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say that being conscious, regardful of our role and responsibility as parents and having that mindset and disposition, that we pray that some world leaders will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, outside Allah being the first teacher to his human creation, he's given the honor and distinction to the mothers in terms of being the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many different interpretations of that. I simply like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an honor and distinction to the mother to give the foundational knowledge to both our baby girls and baby boys. So with that being said, for those of you tuning in for the first time, we always have a review or overcap in terms of what transpired on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab last week in the episode. And to that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed the co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slow Dean. Assalamu alaikum and Eid Mubarak to you, Dr. Salahuddin. Well, hopefully you're on mute, Dr. Salahuddin, because we can't hear you. So you need to unmute yourself. Hopefully that you're in the queue there. Unmute yourself.
Okay. I was unmuted. I don't know.
Well, welcome back to our regular time here, Dr. Salah Dean, and I know that last week we concluded our series during the month of Ramadan and our special time and everything. So we ask you to give us an overcap of some of the highlight things that you captured in your notes, and then we'll go ahead and proceed with tonight's production.
All right, thank you. I apologize for that. I don't know, something was going on in my earplugs. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. The theme for this Ramadan session is fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And our subtopic of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is how does Ramadan impact and benefit family life morally, intellectually, spiritually, for the development of our children? Mark started this episode, the past episode, with continuing the reflection on the 31st verse from chapter 17 of Quran, and that was the parent I'll read that to you. Hence, do not kill your children for fear of poverty. It is he who shall provide sustenance for them as well as for you. Verily killing them is a great sin. In his reflection of this verse, Mark pointed out that in addition to physically killing of children, parents should also be mindful of killing their children in the areas of moral, social, intellectual, and spiritual development. Parents failing to develop these components of their children's life is a form of killing. That which Allah has placed in them. He advised parents to keep the spirit alive in their children by being consciously aware of how to help children to connect to their Creator and His creation. After completing the reflection on this ayat, we moved on to discuss the chapter Luqman, chapter 31 in the Quran. We shared background information as to who Luqman was and his message to his son. We gave reflections on the first three ayat, verse 12, which the key element there was gratitude, and verse 13, where the element there is do not assign partners with God, and that was Luqman's message to his son. And then verse 14, where Allah is talking to the believer and telling us to be good to our parents and to be grateful to him and be grateful to the parents. And then ayat 15, Allah tells us to reverence our parents but respectfully disobey any effort that they will make to make us assign divinity with Allah. We didn't have time to reflect on all of the verses, so we finished the session with the episode with reading the last three verses to the audience to discuss, inshallah, this finish the discussion this episode. So that was the session on last week, and I'll turn it over back to you, Mark.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, that simply means the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the Most High. So what we're going to do tonight, we will, if you have assessed those last three verses on Luqman, we'll just simply, read those, and we'll have a little commentary on those tonight. And actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, I had given this a homework assignment for those who tuned in last week to actually read those last three verses in Luqman's counseling his son, advising his son. We also said that Luqman was not a prophet, he was not a messenger, but he was given wisdom. And so this narrative becomes a sign that as fathers, we should want to possess wisdom. We want the wisdom that Almighty God, Allah, gave to Luqman. And we want to be able to say those things to our sons and to our daughters. Is the conversation, the communication, information that Luqman gave to his son. But we don't want to leave our daughters out of the picture. And so we want to be able to pass on that information. So, Dr. Salahuddin, if you have assessed that, let's read those last three ayat for those who may have missed that. And we'll make a little commentary on that, and then we'll get into tonight's learning lab on Eid al-Fitr. And, the last couple of days or so, we've been saying Eid Mubarak. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll talk a little bit about the impact that Eid al-Fitr and its significance in terms of the impact it makes on the family life. So, Dr. Salahuddin?
Sure. We're starting with Ayah 16. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O my dear son, continued Luqman, verily though there be aught of but the weight of a mustard seed, and though it be hidden in a rock or in the skies or in the earth, God will bring it to light. For behold, God is unfathomable in his wisdom, all aware.
Mm-hmm. This is very important. Dr. Salahuddin, it's so important to let our children know that Almighty God doesn't overlook anything, even if it's as small as a mustard seed. Allah uses creation to teach us. He uses every similitude to teach us, and he often goes to creation. And those of you who may have done farming or just even gardening and have planted mustard seeds in your garden to grow mustard greens, the mustard seed is so very small, so very tiny, so feathery. I hope that's a word, feathery. Yeah, very feathery. You can, if you were to drop it off of your fingertip, probably on the floor or ground, you would be hard-pressed to be able to find it. It's just that small. But Allah is telling us in, and only Allah is speaking in the Quran, in terms of even deeds or what, even if it be as small as that, nothing escapes the vision of Almighty God, Allah. And so, consequently, the deeds, the things that we do, it doesn't escape Allah's vision. So much more can be said about that, but I think I said enough in regards to that. So let's go to, if you would, the next ayat in this conversation, in this consultation, communication, information that Luqman is given to his son. Dr. Slaudin.
Yes. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Oh, my dear son, be constant in prayer and enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong and bear in patience whatever ill may befall thee. This, behold, is something to set one's heart upon.
Yes. This is very, very important because Allah always brings us back to the importance of prayer in terms of establishing the prayer and being consistent in prayer. And, you know, in the end of that, Allah is speaking about the heart of that we have. It should be noted that the heart is a symbol of the intentions, the motivation, and the desire that we have. And in the reading of the Jews during the month of Ramadan, Allah said on several occasions that he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows what is concealed, what is revealed. What do you mean? He knows our intentions. He knows our motivation. He knows our desire, whether they're good intentions or not good intentions. He knows our motivations, whether they're good or bad motivations, whether they're good or bad desires. He knows all of that. So, you know, we have to watch it, you know, not only in terms of the consistency of the prayer, but also the deeds that go along with that. And most of the time when we see the deeds, they actually are a reflection of the state of the heart. So we want to keep the heart pure. We want to have pure intentions. We want to have excellent in terms of motivation and also desire. The desire of the heart is always to please Allah. More I could say about that. I think I said enough in regards to that ayat. So let's go to the third and last ayat, please.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And turn not thy cheek away from people in false pride, and walk not haughtily on earth. For behold, God does not love anyone who, out of self-conceit, acts in a boastful way.
Yes. Well, you know, I think this is really self-explanatory in terms of false pride. There's always a duality. If there is false pride, if there is true pride that we should have in what it is that Allah has created us. He's created us in the best of forms and the best of mold. In that regard. But in that pride, there is humility in that pride because we don't take any credit for whatever it is that Allah has blessed us with. We humbly say, Alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. And we thank Allah for that. So we can't be proudful in a denigrating type way, the arrogance and all that is seen. And then once again, in terms of the disposition is that we have to take the disposition of what it is that we say that we actually are. That should be a believing Muslim. And we should conduct ourselves in accordance with that. So I'll stop there with that. And we do advise that you go back and you read these ayats in the advice that Luqman gave to his son. This is something that we should give to all of our children. And if our children are grown now and all, then we should be talking to our grandchildren. We should be talking to our nieces and nephews. You can take this from the Quran. If you are a mentor and you have mentees, that you are constantly mentoring, you can take this. This is excellent information. What a foundation to give our children, you know, before they leave out the doors of our homes and all. So this can be very life-saving for many of our children, and this will help them in terms of being a good servant to Almighty God Allah. So with that being said, we're going to go to tonight's topic and look at Eid al-Fitr. As we know, the Eid comes after the month of Ramadan, and it's called Eid al-Fitr. And you hear Muslims saying Eid Mubarak. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to start off, as we say, with the Quran as a foundation for what it is that we'll be speaking about tonight. And we want to remind you that if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Yes, we're back. We're back on our regular time here tonight. And we do invite your questions, your comments, and those reflections that you would like to share. If what you're hearing tonight is resonating with you, we do encourage you to press 1 and to ask your question, make your comment, or if something is resonating with you in the information, we would love to hear from you. So, Dr. Salahuddin, I think we've chosen 3030 tonight as a source to start us off on looking at Eid al-Fitr and its impact that it should have on the family life. Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yes, very well.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is chapter 30, ayat 30. And so, set thy face steadfastly towards the one ever true faith, turning away from all that is false, in accordance with the natural disposition which God has instilled into man, for not to allow any change to corrupt what God has thus created. This is the purpose of the one ever true faith, but most people know it not.
Mm-hmm. And we want to say, Sadaq Allahu Zin, surely Allah has spoken mighty truth. So, Dr. Salahu Zin, when you read that, anything stands out to you from that particular ayat, anything that stands out in particular?
Yes. What really just stands out to me is this phrase, for not to allow any change to corrupt what God mm-hmm. has thus created.
Mm-hmm.
This is the purpose of the ever true faith.
Mm-hmm.
That is, to me, is an order, like a command.
Mm-hmm.
You do not, don't let anything corrupt. In other words, don't, what God has created, and we're referencing ourselves, we're
mm-hmm.
thinking about, we should not allow anything to come in that would filter and corrupt anything that God has created in us, instilled in us, that is good. That is
mm-hmm.
for us, for our benefit and for our success. Now, when it comes to our children, this is just as important, because here Allah has created them and he's given them everything they need. And,
mm-hmm.
and because in education we say we want to educate, we want to bring out. That's what it means. We're going to bring out what is already there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should be very mindful of how our children are being raised and how what kind of environment they're in, because what Allah has put in them we want it to grow and to develop into what is going to make our children successful. If we put them in environments, or we don't, aren't mindful, are conscious or aware of the things that will not, that will corrupt what Allah has put in them, we will, our children will not be successful. So, yeah,
yes,
that part really stood out for me.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And that's excellent insight that you're sharing with us based on this expression from the Quran. You know, I like the word natural disposition, and in turning our faith in that direction, okay, our faith in terms of, Imam Muhammad said, faith represents in terms of our character, mm-hmm, and the nature. We was created on the same pattern as the rest of creation. This is very, very important, but it's also important to know what that pattern is. And that pattern for the whole of creation is one of obedience. When we look at the natural creation, we are looking at a creation that expresses God's will. And why is this very important? And that it's obedient, that he has put the celestial, the heavenly bodies under law. You understand? There are laws that govern that, and it submit to those laws. Therefore, that's why you don't see all the different planets that we looked at and have studied and been able to get to know and all of this. These are big, big bodies, you know, and Allah says that you don't see any pillars holding them up or anything. So it willingly submits to God's law, and we see in the animal world, you know, we see animals, you understand, established on a pattern that Allah has set for them, and it expresses God's will. As he has sustained all of this life that we see around us and that we don't see around us, he has nourished and he has sustained it. He's the guardian. He protects it, and he evolves those things. Why is that important? Because this is the same for the human being. The human being was established on the same pattern, the very same pattern. And the human being has a free will. So the surrendering of the free will to perform in the will that Allah has established the human being on, part of that original nature is obedience. So here we look at the conclusion of the month of Ramadan, as Eid al-Fitr is a reoccurring happiness of the original nature. You see, the human being started out in a garden of happiness and bliss. In terms of happiness, it was in a state that it was in compliance with the original nature. And we know that during the month of Ramadan, as we have stated many, many times, that this was a prescription. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is a prescription that Almighty God Allah has given to the human being. Well, this prescription is designed to return the human being back to his and her original nature. We can study the baby, and we see that the baby does exactly, it doesn't deviate, it does exactly what it was created to do. It doesn't even realize that it has a will to choose to do anything other than what it was created to do. So we see early on that in this pattern that is consistent with the pattern of all of creation, Allah is saying in Surah 30:30, I have created you in the same pattern. Don't change. Don't change. And as Dr. Salahuddin so eloquently articulated, that it can become the socialization, acculturation, as the prophet has said, that can and will make us otherwise. Matter of fact, Allah goes so far to say that it can make us Jew or Christian. You see, so naturally, in terms of our birth as human beings, See, this is why Eid al-Fitr becomes a rebirth. I'm going to say that again. This is why Eid. We are happy in terms of the rebirth. Often say, do you have to be born again? Well, every year Allah gives us an opportunity to be born again. It's a rebirth. You see, going back to the original nature. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that original nature, but I want to give you an opportunity at this point to press 1 if you have a question or comment, or what you're hearing thus far is resonating with you. We'd like to hear from you. And so, Dr. Saladin, just some of the things that I've said in terms of looking at the word Eid, our recurring happiness. So we know that, you know, from the English language, anytime we have re as a prefix preceding a word, that it means that it has existed before, but it's coming again. It's coming again and again. It's repetitive. And so, obviously, you know, after this particular thing that it is that we do, it's one of our pillars in terms of a foundation for the natural progression of human life, then obviously this is something that helps us to get back to the original nature. You know, one of the attributes of Almighty God, Allah, is Al-Fatir, that he is the originator. He's the originator. He brings into existence something that never have existed before. And he's Al-Khaliq. He's the creator. Not only does he create, but he reproduces what he has created. And we can look at that in terms of this original nature can be influenced. Yes, it can be influenced. And oftentimes when we talk about parents, parents that are not conscious, regardful of God's role, I mean of their role, will and way that Allah has established for them in terms of nurturing this new human creation that we say are babies and all, and then become toddlers, and then, you know, they grow up to become adolescents, maybe say adults with less sense. We have that role and responsibility from infanthood to adulthood in terms of the nurturing and cultivating. But one of the things that 3030 also says in terms of not changing that nature, don't change that natural disposition, because that is the religion. What are you saying, Shaheed? What is Allah saying? Better still, that is the religion. But most men, as Imam Muhammad told us, that man means mind, but most minds don't understand that. So the word religion, Imam Muhammad has said to us, it means to realign ourselves. And the right religion helps you to realign yourself in conforming to what God's will is for us. Very, very, very important. This gives us an opportunity to get back in line. So Siyam fasting, the month of Ramadan, enables us to realign ourselves, to get back in accordance with God's will, to be able to read God's command as God commands us, to be obedient, that we don't set up our own rules, our own regulations in regards to fasting in the month of Ramadan. And while we are fasting and abstaining and controlling and patrolling those natural urges, those natural impulses, those natural passions, those natural desires within us, we are also feasting and feeding on the Quran. This is very important in terms of the restoration, the liberation, in terms of being in control of those natural fires that are internally operating in us. This brings us back to that original nature, whereas it's just naturally we're just submitting to what God's will was for it. So, you know, Rashid, if we don't, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up, or do you have your hand up in terms of a question or comment? Some of this information that you're hearing tonight, is this resonating with you or what? And radio listeners, we would love to hear from you. I mean, if it's resonating with you, just give us a green say it's resonating. I'm hearing something that is really benefiting. This here is a victory. This is a personal victory that we are celebrating at the end of Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr. Rashid, anybody with their hands up? Yours?
No one with their hands up. But I'm just loving this reoccurring victory that you're talking about, this Ramadan Eid. I mean, it's just beautiful time, and I'm just enjoying the show, and no one at this moment has their hand up, and I'll definitely let you know when they do.
Okay, good. Good. And those who listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call in to the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Salahuddin, as you hear some of the commentary that I'm making in terms of Eid al-Fitr, and by the way, it is Eid, it's not Id. You're saying totally something else when you say Id. So it is Eid. Imam Muhammad for years tried to, he would spell it different ways. He would put three E's there to make sure we wanted to say Eid, you know, with the long E sound in terms of transliteration so that we would pronounce it correctly. It is Eid al-Fitr. And Al means in Arabic, the, and Fitr means the original nature. And keeping the original nature intact, that is the religion. So this religion of al-Islam is called Deen al-Fitr. You see, you hear al-Fitr again. This is the learning lab, so I'm hoping you're taking good notes here. It is the religion of the original nature. That is the religion. So we celebrate that. This becomes a personal victory. You know, nobody should be asking you during the month, are you fasting? You fasting? How's your fast? None of those things. That's between you and your Lord. So, Dr. Salahuddin, I know you have something. I can feel the vibes on the line here that you want to add to it. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Dr. Salahuddin?
Well, our imam was so merciful because that letter is in Arabic, it's a ayn, and it's a very difficult sound to make. So him, by him trying to give us different ways to pronounce it and add with the transliteration part of it, that was really really helpful because that letter, that ayn, is not an easy sound. It's just not a sound that we have in English.
It's a gutter.
And
it's
so
a,
we'll try to make that sound that we have in English, but it doesn't exist. So we have to come up with a different, we have to actually know how to go and into our throat and make that sound. So alhamdulillah, we thank him for helping us out with that aid. So yeah, of course, you covered really most of everything that I would have said, but better. We have the month of Ramadan. It's just the kind of things that we're told to do. It just puts you in a state, and you feel so good. You know, you feel very good doing these things. And
is this Stanley?
And
how you doing?
Excuse me.
It sounds
Rashid,
like that. I'm good with it.
You got that old school. What's up,
Rashid?
Rashid, I call you. I'm so stressed out.
Rashid,
I'm trying to figure out.
You can be heard on national radio. Let's mute that mic. Mute your mic, Rashid.
I can't really do too much with barking and schooling.
Rashid,
he may be having problems with his phone.
Rashid, are you there? Okay, We're sorry about that radio listener. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then we're sorry to interrupt you. Okay. Go ahead.
No problem. Yes, I was saying that because we're doing all of, we're making our prayers and even extra prayers, and we are we're going to the Tarawih prayer at night to the masjid, or sometimes if you're doing it at home. But you're making these extra prayers, and you're making these duas, and you're reading the Quran, and you're controlling your intake of food, and you're controlling your sexual desires, and you're controlling your tongue, and you're making this effort to do it. You feel really good about yourself. You just feel good. And that just tells us that, you know, this is our original, this is where we should be every day all during the year. And
mm-hmm.
and the good feeling that we can attain and have during the entire year. We're giving in charity. We're giving extra service. And we're asking for forgiveness. And that's to put us in a state of mind that is so, it's so peaceful. It's that,
mm-hmm.
it's that peace that only you can only get from Allah, and
yes.
and from doing the things that Allah has prescribed for us to do, and it's just innate. It's something that's within us, and all we
yes.
were doing was doing some making some steps to bring it out to manifest it. And it's just a wonderful feeling to do Ramadan. And now if we could get our children to
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge that feeling too,
mm-hmm.
and it may take time for them to get there, but by us doing it and they seeing us practicing and them following us or doing what we do,
mm-hmm.
Eventually they will get there too, to have that feeling of peace and contentment that only
mm-hmm.
Allah can give us. But it's
right.
already there, but it's coming out because of these are the things that we're doing. It's amazing how we, it's just amazing what wonderful things that can come about if we just
mm-hmm.
do what Allah asks us to do. So that's what I had to say about
That's excellent, you know, in terms of, you know, just a sense of being, looking at being victorious. Very, very
mm-hmm.
important. This is really very important. You know, have you ever been victorious? I mean, just think about the just different things in life, and even for our children, it brings about a happy feeling to be victorious. To be a winner, to be able to be in control over yourself. This is very, very important. You know, if while I'm talking here for a couple of minutes, I'd like for you, if you could, assess Surah 66:6. We're going to look at something there and tie that in with Eid. Is Dr. Salahuddin said it's really what they call one of the gutter ayin. It's a gutter, you know, coming from the back of your throat, you know, in terms of Eid al-Fitr, you know, in terms of the preservation of that or the restoration of going back to that is so very, very important. And Allah wants the human being to have that experience, whereas that now they are liberating themselves, liberation, emancipation, freedom, as Imam Muhammad said, from the fire of your own passion, of your own passion. So whereas that now, you understand, you're victorious. You're not giving in to even those natural urges and even more so to the unnatural urges that oftentimes become a real challenge for all human beings, including our children. And so when we talk to our children, we have to talk to them about these things that Allah has put into the fitrah, the original nature, you know, but they have to become obedient to the higher self, and that we have been given free will. So there's a reward. After we have become victorious in being obedient. This is a part of the original nature of human beings, and this is in accordance with the natural pattern that Allah has established the whole creation. We was created in the same pattern, but we have to utilize and realize our free will to bring ourselves into conformity with God's will and be obedient. So, Dr. Salahuddin, have you been able to assess 66.6? Read that that ayat, if you will. And I think it'll help in terms of giving us even more insight in terms of how valuable this original nature in the restoration of it, the preservation of it, and not deviating from that original nature.
Okay. This ayat 66, Surah 66, ayat 6, correct?
Yes.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O you who have attained to faith, ward off from yourselves and those who are close to you that fire of the hereafter, whose fuel is human beings and stones, lording over it are angelic powers, awesome and severe, who do not disobey God in whatever he has commanded them, but always do what they are bidden to do.
Yes, as-sadaqa al-azim. Yes, and some of you who may hear the Yusuf Ali expression may be familiar with save yourself and your family from that, you know, the hellfire. Well, we want to look at in terms of how is it that you save yourself. Allah will not ask us to do something that we're not capable of doing. And Allah tells us in the Quran, Dhikr Allahu Akbar, that thinking and reflecting on Allah is the greatest. And Imam Muhammad, you know, put the punctuation on it, the greatest for getting the best results in our life. So Allah has given us this original nature. And then he has given us a pillar to strengthen that part or aspect of the original nature by siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and being obedient to Allah's command. This actually, you know, helps us, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, in terms of saving ourselves, you know, from the fire. Imam Muhammad said, you don't have to be so much in concern about the fire to come if, in fact, that you can get in control of the internal fire from within yourself. So when we're looking at siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and how it benefits the family life, what will save one person, yourself, would be the same thing that will save the family, your immediate family, your extended family, the family of humanity, is in terms of thinking and remembering what Allah has said to us in his command. And then we conforming our will to what God's will is for us, and we strive to the best of our ability to live the way that Allah has designed for us. This is part of the pattern that Allah has set for everything in creation. When we study the rest of creation, it is only performing, you know, it's conforming to that life that Allah has created for us. We're seeing the expression of God's will, that he's designed for that creation, and he has a design for us. And the commonality in that design and pattern is obedience. This is very, very important. So when we look at saving ourselves, Allah has said that he has placed two components in the soul, the fujur and the taqwa. Imam Muhammad has said that each one represents, that the fujur represents the rational nature within ourselves, and the taqwa represents the moral nature within ourselves. So this helps in terms of not only protecting us, but saving us, you understand, and our family. So when we look at, see, I'm fasting in the month of Ramadan, and at the end, we have al-fitr, a recurring happiness of the original nature. Now, this is a victory. This becomes a victory in terms of being able to be victorious over our natural urges, our natural impulses, the natural passion and desire. This is fire from within the human being. So this is very, very important. And so as we are celebrating, we should have a sit-down talk with our children as we talk to them about the fast month of Ramadan. But at the end, this is what we're celebrating. Oh, this is something to really celebrate. How many people do you know, you understand, that will subject themselves to a fast like this? And Allah says, fasting, this is for me. You are doing this for me. Because when we think about, wow, especially when you begin, oh, I feel so weak, I feel so tired, I don't know if I can, okay, remember, this is for me. You see, so this actually gives us the energy. It energizes us. It motivates us, you know, because this is something that our Lord and Creator has said, this is for me. We owe our whole life to our Creator. Mm-hmm. And if we're in conformity with God's will, this sustains the life. This sustains the life. So we don't need to have somebody as a personal savior. We don't need to have anybody to die for us, to shed blood, and all to save us. Allah has already given us everything that we need to save ourselves. So this ayat really answers a big, big, big question in terms of our savior. How do we save ourselves? You know, by the remembrance of Almighty God, Allah, and He communicates with us in terms of His word, and we should be adhering to His word, and we should be conforming to His will, and we should be striving to the best of our ability to live our life the way that Almighty God, Allah, would want us and have us to live. And this is very important. So we got a few minutes left, and I guess nobody out there have a question or a comment tonight, nor do anything that said is resonating with them, because we do invite you to press one.
We got a hand raised.
Okay, well, let's go to the caller and see what they have on their mind.
All righty. We have 423-313. You're on the air. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Man of Muhammad, Tennessee. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. You got a question or comment for us, Jamana?
It's twofold. You know, we talk about how good it is to obey Allah and during the month of Ramadan. And so you haven't expressed anything about those people that aren't able to fast. And you talk about first in the goodness of Allah, how He give us an out. With anything He tell us to do, He always give us an out until He give us His mercy. So I'd like to just kind of expound.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's true. Yeah, He extends His mercy to us. And even for those who, for whatever reason, are not able to fast, they can still do something to get those blessings and all. So this is truly mercy. And actually, see, I'm fasting the month of Ramadan. It's actually a mercy to the human being that's being extended to us by Almighty God, Allah. Anything else that you have? Or is that it?
That's
Jermaine?
It.
Okay,
that's
well, thank
it.
You. Well, thank you
now,
so much.
Don't thank me for calling in. I just want to thank the two of you because everything gets, like the old people say, gets gooder and gooder every time you see a home. So I am really blessed just to be able to hear you exchange dialogue. So I'm going to say thank you so very much.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you so much for even, you know, sharing what it is Allah bless you with. Thank you so much. Press 1 as you go out. Assalamu alaikum to you, Jermaine, from Chattanooga. You know, Dr. Salong Dean, we only have a couple, 2-3 minutes left here on this production. But, you know, when we hear Muslims saying Eid Mubarak, you know that this recurring happiness is a blessing. Mubarak means blessing. And it is truly a blessing for us and as parents and when we speak to our children, we should really impress upon them that given this opportunity that Allah has given to us to be human beings, a human creation, and given us a free will, we can't be compelled to do it. And it's personal. Allah knows, he knows what is concealed and what's revealed in our heart, in our intentions, and in our motivation, our desire to please him, that this is truly a blessing. So we celebrate in terms of greeting each other, and there's not a better, Imam Muhammad said there's not a better greeting at the end of Ramadan than Eid Mubarak. Now, I know people, and I know this might hopefully would rub people the wrong way when they say what they say. But when you have a scholar as a leader, you should try to understand what the scholar is saying to you. So he says, Eid Mubarak, you know, that this recurring happiness that we experience, you know, during Siyam, fasting the month of Ramadan, is a blessing. Saeed means happy. Kareem means generous. But when you look at blessing, you are happy. Happiness is in the blessing. Generosity is in the blessing. It don't get any better than that. So Dr. Salong Dean, got about a minute for any closing remarks that you would like to leave with our radio listening audience before you depart. Dr. Salong Dean.
Yes, Mark, in the terms of, as it relates to children, when Ramadan is over, as parents, we should think about what our children have gained from fasting or from observing Ramadan, from whatever degree they're able to do that. And one of the things that we can do is ask our children to make an assessment. Set goals at the beginning of Ramadan, make an assessment of the goals that they set, and also what we would give them an opportunity to discuss some their experience with Ramadan and maybe ask them questions. What have you learned during the month of Ramadan that you want to keep and make it a regular practice for yourself? What do you need to do to keep that practice going? And what bad habits did you get rid of that you want to banish forever? And how will you keep it away? So these are things that we can do to help our children to make an analysis of their Ramadan experience. And I just wanted to share that because we didn't get to talk too much about what kind of things we can actually do.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, that's very important what you said. And I think those are some excellent, excellent points that you made to have that conversation with our children and to see what was it that they got from having that experience. And then it depends on the age and stage where they are in their life in terms of how much they can actually do. And as they get older, they should be encouraged, you know, to fast. But I think with having a better understanding what you're doing, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it for, and what the benefits are, this will actually help to encourage our children in terms of partaking in one of these very vital pillars that help to sustain and maintain the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have and being victorious. So thank you once again, Dr. Salahuddin, as always, each and every Wednesday, ensuring your insight and your wisdom that Allah has blessed you with and all. And we'll be looking to your return in 2 weeks, as you won't be with us next week on the 11th, but you'll be returning back the 18th, inshallah. So thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you richly, and may Allah bless you to enjoy, have your Ramadan to be fast, to be accepted, and that you had a blessed Eid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam, and the same to you, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Who to you? And then we have it the first hour here on IWDM Radio, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. And just before we make the transition to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, want to remind you that we are back on our regular time schedule and that the Sister Learning Lab will be here on IWDM Radio tomorrow. That is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll join yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and be back at the regular time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And as we transition, I always like to begin the production with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We want to say ashhadu an ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community. That's the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And no less tonight, as we have one of our very learned distinguished imams in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, a good brother and friend, Imam Munir Muhammad, longtime resident imam there of W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. He's also the national director of the convention, the IWDM Muslim Convention, that's held annually there in Inkster, Michigan. And so it's always an honor to have him back on short notice. So we really appreciate it. And he will be giving us some insights in terms of what it is that we have been celebrating for the last couple of days, Eid al-Fitr, which concludes at the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our beloved guest, Imam Munir Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Imam Munir Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam, Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you, Brother, and thank you. It's always an honor to have you, and even on short notice, I thought it would be appropriate as we return back to our regular time, as we change the time in lieu and respect for the believers across the country, especially those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, that we didn't want to be airing on radio while many of them had to break their fast and make the Salat to Maghrib and with the iftars with their family or with the community. And sometimes, you know, food don't just happen by itself. It has to be prepared. And so all of those things that we have to do in the month of Ramadan and all. So now we're back as Ramadan has been completed for this year, and we pray Allah that all that were able to make and complete their fast, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, will accept that fast. And we say, I mean to that. So, you know, let's get with it. You know, Imam Munir Muhammad, you know, at the end, you may have heard a little bit of the last production, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, in terms of we took on the topic of looking at the benefit of Eid al-Fitr and looking at how this impacts even the family life and all. When we say Eid al-Fitr, what are we really saying, and how significant is that for us, Imam Munir?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We appreciate you reaching out to us. Allah is in charge, and Allah is in charge of the heavens and the earth and all that's in between. And you reached out to me while we were actually en route to Inkster, Michigan, to celebrate the third
yes.
of the Eid celebration. At our own skating rink, Muslim yep. own skating rink, and which is open to the public. We have a great relationship with the community. So mm-hmm. Eid is it means to be happy. It means reoccurring happiness,
mm-hmm.
reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
Mubarak is blessed. So when you say someone say blessed Eid, what they're expressing through the language is blessed return to your original nature. The word fitra is from the word fitra, which means to originate. Allah is al-Fatir. He is the originator. And he's given us a process, a discipline by which we can utilize the 29 or 30 days to help us get back to our original nature. And what is that nature? It is to be submissive, to be obedient, and submit our will to the will of God. And that mm-hmm. is something to be happy about. That's something to celebrate. That's something to be joyous about. And so, therefore, our Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, he taught us that the Eid is that you, first day, you focus on yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are to extend yourself to the neighborly needs and visit mm-hmm. those who need to benefit from this great spirit that you have, this renewed. Mm-hmm. Revive, refresh spirit, and
mm-hmm.
then you are to try to engage humanity by doing humanitarian efforts. And you
yes.
see in our writings and in our publications you know, Muslim communities are always giving away food, giving away clothes, giving away, being very charitable at the end of Eid, where we go and pray and thank God for the victory.
Yes.
And then we visit those who are shut in and sick and those who need to benefit from this great energy and spirit. And then we serve humanity. So Eid al-Fitr is, we should be happy that we are able to return to our original nature. And God says that he has created all of humanity upon this nature.
Yes.
It says, Fitr to Allah, he's Latif, Hassan, and Nasser, Ali. That's in Surah 30, verse 30, where it says, and he has created all of humanity upon this Fitr.
Yes.
And we're taught that everyone is born Muslim.
Yes.
You know, it is situation, circumstances that changes us adhering to that biological makeup that God has deposited in us to submit to his will.
Allahu Akbar. That's excellent, Imam Munir. Very excellent opening comments on Eid Mubarak and Eid al-Fitr. You know, you went to the Quran, alhamdulillah, you know, because this is always in terms of our learning labs that we always want to use the Quran as a source for whatever it is that we say. It is the source. It's not a resource, but it is the source. And of course, the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the final revelation is a source. And also for me and for us here on IWDM Radio, it is tafsir, the clear explanation by our beloved leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, in giving us clear explanation in looking at the Quran and the life example of the prophet. I want to go back to that Surah 30 that you mentioned in the Quran. To my recollection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that when you're speaking about this original nature in some expressions of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe, says in there that the human creation has been established on the same pattern as the rest of creation. And the question was asked in terms of Imam Muhammad, in terms of what is that pattern? What is the pattern of the natural creation? It is the same things that you just said a few minutes ago, one of submission to God's will, an expression of God's will in the natural creation, but also obedience. This is the pattern that man was created on. He wasn't created on a different pattern. The only thing that Allah gave to this creation is freedom and free will, but he has to make that will conform to what God's will is. And he has to be obedient and has to utilize that free will in the way that Allah intended for him to use this, to be able to return to that original nature, as you so eloquently articulated, that Allah is Al-Fatir. He is the originator. He brings into existence what he pleases and never have been. But this original nature is also Allah's creation. So, you know, when we look at that and we look at this as being a means, one of the five pillars that upholds the life and the benefits that we get from that, you know, Imam Munir, can you talk about that? Obviously, it's, like you say, it's worth it in terms of celebrating. But what are the great benefits that we should be able to extrapolate from Allah, you know, giving us this mercy and giving us this prescription that he's ascribed in our nature, the original nature of the human being, in terms of servitude, being an obedient servant?
Well, the in that same verse, right after what God says it is the nature upon he which he has created all of humanity, then
yes.
he says let tebdila be kalkillah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you brought the word in creator in. You know, originator and creator is talking
they're
about
different.
Two different
fonts. Yes, yeah, they are different.
So,
yes, I'm aware.
So God says, "La tebdila bi kalkillah." Let there be no change in what God has created.
Yes.
So the benefit of engaging in that process of fasting, how God lays it out and is taught to us through our Prophet Muhammad, the benefit
mm-hmm.
of it is that you and I are getting that nature that God created
mm-hmm.
back on that original pattern. And that
yes.
original pattern is to be obedient to God, to adhere to God, not
mm-hmm.
insist on your way. You see?
That's right.
The level of the soul where we insist on our way,
mm-hmm.
but God is inviting us to a way. But
mm-hmm.
we insist on our way. No, during this process of fasting,
mm-hmm.
you and I had to yield that because
that's
the
right.
fast is that month of, Imam Muhammad said, it is the month of obedience.
Yes.
It's the month
yes.
of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the finish line and you receive that victory, it's an individual victory. The Eid al-Fitr, it's an individual
mm-hmm.
victory.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's preparing you, as you said, it's preparing you to learn how to deal with each other in the collective picture. Because Eid al-Adha comes
yes.
roughly 70 days from now. You will have the season of pilgrimage, season of Hajj.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the Eid al-Fitr is a warm up.
Preparatory is prepping
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you gotta because the fast was an individual fast. None of
yes.
us was looking around the corner, peeping through anybody's window to see if anyone was breaking a fast and secretly, you know, getting something to drink or eat or anything else. You know,
that's right.
So we believed in each other. We trusted that
mm-hmm.
we had companions. We had companions, brothers and sisters, in
mm-hmm.
the journey to get back to our original nature.
Yes.
Now, if you understand what happens on Hajj,
mm-hmm.
when you make them tawaf, see when
yes.
you make the tawaf,
yes,
you go in counterclockwise.
That's right.
You go,
mm-hmm.
and so the tawaf. Is you going, the symbolism of it is that you're trying to return back to your original nature.
Yes. Yes.
So it's all connected, even though that happens on two different times. But they're
yes.
connected. The individual victory leads you to understand yourself better. Therefore, you're able to build relations and build community, and then you're able to function and live better with humanity, which Eid al-Adha and Hajj is all about.
Yes.
So
yes, sir.
The family reunion, the big family reunion.
You know, Imam Manur, this is excellent that you tie that in. As that you were speaking there in Surah 30:30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, also says that is the religion. But most men, or as Imam Muhammad said, most minds don't understand that. So to be able to sustain and maintain and return to that original nature and to keep it intact, that is the religion, but most minds don't understand it. Give us some insight on that, if you would, Imam Manir, because this is referred to as Deen al-Fitr, and as Imam Muhammad said, this is the religion of the original nature, and he told us that religion, the root word of religion, means to realign yourself, with that original nature.
Right.
Some insight.
Well, you just gonna make me cover the whole verse because the whole verse covers. Allah says, "Fa'akum wajaka lidini hanifa."
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the first part. So he
says,
"So set your face, so set your wajha, set your face, meaning your character,
mm-hmm.
your whole vessel, everything about you,
mm-hmm.
towards the religion being hanif."
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hanif. Not Qiyam, like you stand in prayer.
Yes.
Not upright like that. Not Rafu, to stand back
mm-hmm.
up from a bending posture.
Yes.
Or being raised back up by God from a fallen posture. No.
Mm-hmm.
He says hanif. So set your face towards the religion being hanif. Abraham was called hanif.
That's right.
So
right.
What was he upright in? He just didn't give us a picture of an upright posture. His
mm-hmm.
what was upright? His mind, his
mm-hmm.
heart,
mm-hmm.
his spirit, and
mm-hmm.
his will was upright.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
wants you to be upright in these areas. Then when you stand up, then you'll have an intelligent human being that God created for everyone to witness, to marvel over.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
So that's the first part of it. Then
mm-hmm.
God reminds us that, so set your face towards the religion being upright.
Mm-hmm.
It is the nature upon which he has created all of humanity.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let there be no change in what God has created.
Yes.
That is the religion, right and straight.
Mm-hmm.
What is the religion being right and straight? It's for you and I to be upright in our and sound in our thinking, in our heart,
mm-hmm.
in our spirit, in our will.
Mm-hmm.
So that when God, who created us and he created all of humanity, he put this ability in us to yield to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To start the month of Ramadan, we went cold turkey. We stopped everything, cold turkey.
That's right.
So this is a very serious situation where you get this moral and ethical victory to get back to your original nature.
Mm-hmm.
God says, this is the religion right and straight.
Mm-hmm.
But most of humanity, as you said, most of the thinking beings
mm-hmm.
will never come to understand this.
Yes.
Why won't they never or ever come to understand? They will never come to understand until they yield and stop insisting on their own way, and they insist on God's way.
Come on now. Yes, sir. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So what happened in the month of Ramadan? We were critical of ourselves, right? We kept checking ourselves. We had to remind ourselves, you know, I'm doing this for Allah's sake. I'm doing this to have my previous sins forgiven because I
mm-hmm.
believe in the promise. I believe in the promise that's given to us through our Prophet Muhammad. What Allah says that if I enter in this month and I complete the fast with sincerity and faith, he will forgive me my previous sins. So
yes.
We became self-critical. And then
mm-hmm.
the month, even before the end, what we're celebrating now and why you hear so much energy coming from me now is that we have reached that
yes.
point of the soul that we're pleased
yes.
with our own effort. And God is pleased.
Yes.
We're pleased and God is pleased. And what did
yes.
God say? What did God promise? And this is the level of the soul that he will say, wa kulli jannah, and welcome into my paradise.
So Brother Imam, so that would be the level of the soul of Nefsan Mukmaina, the soul that is peace, that is pleased, and as you say, and our Lord and Creator is pleased with us. This is why you should see the best believing Muslim or Mukmin believer, you know, just coming. And I can hear the spirit in your voice, Brother Imam, reaching a crescendo. I can hear the spirit that's there. And the wonderful insight that you're sharing with our radio listening audience, I want to say to those, if you just tuned in a little late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the roundtable our very distinguished, esteemed guest, one of our very learned imams in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Imam Munir Muhammad. Is sitting in with me and giving us some excellent insight on Eid Mubarak, Eid al-Fitr, which comes at the end, as many have been celebrating the last two or even the third day, in celebrating a personal, as I said, personal individual victory in terms of being first and foremost obedient to Allah, because this is what Allah is commanding us to do and has prescribed for us to do so that we may learn taqwa, that we may learn to be more consciously regardful of Him. And in the process of doing that, that we are able to obtain more self-discipline, more self-control, more self-management, more self-restraint in being obedient and bringing our will into conformity. And Imam Munir is doing an excellent job in terms of how the soul is so very, very happy. The soul is very, very happy. That component, those two components, the fujul and the taqwa in the soul. The soul knows where it's got to go, where it's got to get back to in terms of that state. And so this is excellent information. So if you have a question or you have a comment to Imam Munir Muhammad, then you have to press 1. And for those who are listening in by way of the Internet, you have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673. If you have a question, this is your opportunity to ask the question, because I know a lot of this information may be new to some of you who listen in for the first time. The reason I invited Imam Munir Muhammad is so that he give us even deeper, greater insight in terms of what it is that we celebrate at the end of Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up? Want to ask a question or make a comment? And those, if it's resonating with you, we don't want to leave you out. If you don't have a question or comment, if what the information you hear is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. I'm quite sure our guests would love to hear from you. Rashid Salam, is this resonating with you or what? Or do you have a question at this time?
Eid Mubarak, Brother Imam. I do have one hand raised, Brother. I'm going to let this hand. I think this 423-313 is this Chattanooga, Tennessee calling out.
Yes. Let's go to that caller there in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
423-313. Your mic is open.
I take yourself off of mute there. Assalamu alaikum, Eid Mubarak. You're live on IWDM Radio. That might have been
a
caller from the previous show. Maybe they didn't take themselves out of the queue. So if you're hearing my voice, if you don't have a question or comment, We do need you to press 1. Take yourself out of the queue, and if you have a question or comment, then you can press 1 and come back into the queue. You have a question or comment, Rashid, at this point?
I'm just being enlightened. You're talking about beautiful. I mean, I'm feeling better than I felt yesterday. So I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, my good brother. I mean, this is enlightening. So I'm enjoying. I'm feasting at this particular point in time. So no problem. Another hand is 423-313. Are you there? Okay, she's not there.
Yes.
Okay then.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right.
Waalaikum salam.
You have a question or comment for our guest, Imam Munir Muhammad. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Imam Muhammad, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
This is a comment. I'm just so elated. I concur on what you're saying. The Imam's heightened spirit has touched me. He is the... I just can't even get the words out. I enjoy what he has to say. he's on point. I got to say, he's just on point, and the spirit just, like you said, resonates through this, the TV and everything. I'm telling you the truth. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful brother here, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to make a comment. Thank you
yes,
so very much.
Okay,
well, we
so
thank
please
you.
Press one. Please press one on your phone so you can be out the queue. Please, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
phone.
You so much, Sister Jermana from Chattanooga. So, alhamdulillah, you know, we encourage those who listen, that, you know, you can press 1. If you don't have a question or comment, if what you're hearing is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. You know, Imam Munir, I never run out of questions per se in, you know, whatever the topic is that we take on at the MGM Roundtable. Obviously, this, I think, is a timely topic as in terms of the celebration, completing the fast, and then we do ask that Allah will bless us and accept, you know, our fast, like you say. We don't have investigators anymore. I'm from the old Nation of Islam. We had investigators that could actually come out to your house and spy on you or what, to see what you're doing and all of this. There's no investigators or inspectors or anything to watch you to see if, in fact, that you're really fasting. This becomes very personalized and is on your honesty and integrity. And, you know, as we read the Quran, Allah is constantly reminding us that he knows that which is revealed and that which is concealed, and he knows the secrets of the heart, meaning that he knows the intention, he knows the motivation, he knows the desire of the human being. But this is an opportunity to celebrate also when you think, Brother Imam, the natural urges, the natural impulses, the natural passion and desire that Imam Muhammad spoke about in terms of that fire. He said that if, in fact, that we could be liberated or emancipated or freed or delivered from that internal fire that's a part of the makeup of all human beings, and we could do that on a consistent basis, then the hellfire that's mentioned in the Quran would take care of itself. Any insights you'd like to share in regards to that, Imam Munir?
Yes, sir. The key word that I you said quite a bit, and
yes, sir.
The key word that that hit me was the word ania. The word intention.
Yes.
Imam Muhammad indicated that that is one thing to have to state your intent, but we should always check our motivation behind the intent.
Yes.
And so And so even with, you know, following the ritual of stating our intent and keep reminding ourselves of our motivation to fast each day, you have to also state your intent to celebrate in the spirit in which Allah taught us through the Prophet Muhammad. You had to state your intent to celebrate. You had to go to the Eid, not fasting because you were finished fasting. A whole lot of Muslims made that mistake. Somebody had these books that we used to use before, trusting in our leader, Imam Muhammad, and his language and his insights. We read all these books. We bought all these books in a sense. And someone told us that we should approach the Eid prayer fasting, you know, more so the second one than the first one. But you're not supposed to fast on Eid day.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And so, but you have to state your intent. My point is, to the answer what you asked me, is that to state your intent and so that you keep your motivation in front of you so that this causes pure interaction. This causes us to remain ethical and to remain in obedience to Allah, to God Most High, because ultimately we got to answer to God.
That's right.
So, like I said, we made our intent to come. I had a sister tell me that she's been invited by the mayor to tomorrow for National Prayer Day, and she said, "Brother Imam," is there anything you want me to add to my prayer? I said, well, you know, just tell, as you're doing your prayer, you tell them that you pray for safe travel and safe return for your Muslim brothers and sisters to return home safely from celebrating in the correct spirit, like God intended, for us to return back home from our own Muslim skating rink.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
She said, "You want me to tell them all that?" I said, "You don't have to tell them all that, but you can tell them a little bit. Just, you know, add that to your prayer.
Add that to the prayer to the dua."
Yeah. You know,
that's a dua.
National day of prayer, right? So, you know, I mean, you praying for us, and then everybody else pray for us. We should get back home safe then. God willing.
That's right. Yes, that's, you know, it's so ironic that you, you know, said that. And for those who are not Muslim, so that you understand what it is that we're saying when we say the prayer that Imam Munir actually was saying in terms of the sister, in terms of an addendum to what it is that she would pray. And usually those type of prayers, they are called du'as. Du'as is when you're asking Allah or requesting something from Allah and summoning Allah's help or assistance, protection in things that matter. This is very, very important. And we should be making dua every day. There's no set time to make dua. You can make dua pretty much any situation, any circumstances, something that's troubling you. You summoning Allah's protection, Allah's guidance. During the month of Ramadan, we should be praying more. We should be asking, requesting from Allah certain things that we want to make personal improvements in our life. And Brother Imam, you kind of stirred up in my mind. During this month, Allah is always most merciful. He's the most merciful benefactor, and he's the most merciful redeemer, you know, because we're asking Allah mercy, but also his forgiveness in this regard. And, you know, as we be obedient, Allah is telling us throughout the Jews that we read each and every day in the month of Ramadan, he's constantly telling us that he is all-forgiving, that he is most merciful. And Imam Muhammad said that we get that in the two attributes that he has given to us in Al-Fatiha is like an introduction, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Allah's name. What is Allah's name? Allah is telling us, you know, you can call him by all the most beautiful names, but he chose to give us in the first completed surah. And notice I said the first completed surah was Al-Fatiha, and it's the beginning. As Imam Muhammad say, Al-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor. I haven't heard anybody give a better expression of Al-Rahman, nor Al-Rahim, the most merciful redeemer, than Imam Wahdi Muhammad. And his scholarly insight in looking at that word, and both of them are mercies, but he makes a distinction in those mercies as they are extended to all of us, and we should be forever thankful and grateful. And that's why all the praise in that second ayat goes to Allah, because he is the most merciful benefactor, Al-Rahman, and he is the most merciful redeemer, Al-Rahim, often forgiven and most merciful. So, you know, Imam Munir, you know, when we look at that and look at the mercy that is extended to us and the forgiveness and then making more prayers and being in dua and always praying, you know, you mentioned that you are always traveling. You know, it is said that we should never undertake a trip without making dua. You know, we know what it is in terms of what it is that we're seeking to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And we might say that we will be here or we'll be there. But Allah says in the Quran, never say what you will do tomorrow without saying, inshallah, if it's God's mm-hmm. will. We know that only God's will prevails over everything. And we may have the intention for good, and be willing to do what it is that we say, but only God's will prevails. You know, as we look at, you know, this, we have so much to be thankful and grateful for. So this is a happy, recurring habit. And when you think about something recurring, this means that it has been here before. Can you talk about that in terms of recurring, you know, a recurring blessing of returning back to that original nature? This nature from the very beginning, as you said, Al-Fatir, the originator, and this is an opportunity annually to return back to that, get back in accord with that, because this can and will be our salvation, as Allah has pointed out in the Quran, in Surah 66:6, save yourself and save your family. Mm-hmm. Would there be a connection there, Imam Munir?
Absolutely, because during the month of Ramadan, what do we do? You know, we prayed and we increased our prayers and we increased our reading and understanding of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finish and completed the task,
mm-hmm.
and you go to and you went to celebrate, what was the first thing you had to do to begin the celebration? What's the first thing we had to do when we completed the obligation?
Yes.
In order, what was the first thing we had to do? We had to perform e-prayer.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
So prayer is the foundation for success in life. And so if we put prayer, whether it's the formal prayer, whether, as you mentioned, whether it's the appeal to God, the crying out to God, the beseeching of God.
Yes.
You know, we offer a special formal prayer before we begin celebration.
That's correct. That's correct.
Right? And then what is the order of it? you and I and everyone should have already been awakened to the word of God. So you don't listen to the kutbah first. You get
right
to what you've been doing. Pray first. Submit and surrender yourself back to God again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And then you sit and listen and be reminded of what you already have read throughout the whole month.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Right?
And that's a unique, that's a unique prayer. The Eid prayer is two rakas. There is no adhan. There is no ikama. And it starts off differently. And as Imam Muhammad say, in terms of five takbirs and then seven. Give us a little insight on that, that you mentioned that, you know, when we mm-hmm. talk about Eid day,
right.
in that structure and protocol that has become traditional. Imam Munir?
So what are you surrendering? You raise your hands five times. Imam said traditionally that, you know, traditional, mainly the Hanafi school, you know, did seven and five. He said, I'm inviting you to do five, seven, and then begin the kutbah with nine. Why? Because
mm-hmm.
they're connections. You know,
mm-hmm.
now that you have completed this beautiful and holy month of Ramadan, you're doing five because you're raising your hands in surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You're raising
mm-hmm.
your hands in surrender, and where do you raise your hands to? To your ears, because now you're saying that you're going to adhere to the word of God. God is the number one priority, and I'm going to make sure that my five senses stay in tune with my soul.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
And then in the second unit, I surrender, and I do it seven times.
Mm-hmm.
Because God says there's seven firmaments out there, and then he said there's seven in you.
That's right. That's right.
So by surrendering seven times, you're inviting that heavenly picture by God's mercy to be deposited in you and I.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
And then we go through the ritual, we go through the rest of it, and we complete the prayer like Fajr prayer, Jummah prayer, we complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the khatib begins, before they begin the khutbah, the imam reminded us of the tradition of the prophet now to say nine takbir.
That's right. That's right.
Because now you and I, we are supposed to be reborn.
Reborn, that's right, rebirth.
rebirth.
That's
so
right.
Nine is symbolic of being reborn, rebirth.
That's right, that's right.
And so now you're able to espouse the words of God, and
yes.
people hear you in this joyous and festive occasion. Now they can hear you. Because they have all this together.
Yes.
They have their senses together, and they're striving to surrender themselves to get to this heavenly state. They know what to do to keep the heavenly state.
Yes.
And they are grateful before God to be forgiven all their sins like a newborn baby.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
So now they can sit there and listen to you. And be happy in their spirit.
Yes,
and
sir.
And you say,
Eid Mubarak. You know, that's beautiful, Brother Imam. You know, I'm glad that you took us through that and shared with us, the IWDM radio listening audience, the insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad in the five, the seven, and the nine. and its significance, because he also, you know, spoke at one time in terms of the gates, the apertures that's on the head of the individual. I think we talked about it a little bit last time I had you on while we was in the month of Ramadan, in terms of those apertures, those openings being gates, that can take you to the Jannah, that is the paradise, or the Jahannah, which is the hellfire in regards to that. And so the Imam, in his great insight and wisdom in seeing and respecting the five senses that Allah has given to us as receptors, as you so eloquently articulated, in terms of the takbirs at hearing, you know, and you can actually, that word actually implicit, you know, hearing, adhering to God's word. I mean, adhering to God's word. This is very important because when we are actually fasting in the month of Ramadan, we are really reading, feeding, and for those who really understand, we should be feasting on the Quran, because only Allah is speaking in the Quran. Let's get that straight, you know. We say what it was that Iblis said, what the angels said, what the various prophets said. No, it is what Allah said, because he speaks for the whole of his creation. And when it was revealed to the prophet, it was only Allah that was speaking to his messenger, his Rasulullah, in regards to that. Because the prophet was, as you said, unlettered. It didn't mean that he couldn't read or write, but he had no knowledge in terms of scripture. There was no one that historically where they could say that some man taught him. And then we look from a historical context, those prophets and messengers, they were taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, in that regard. So this this Quran being revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, Imam Muhammad said, not only revealed, but also he was given the hikmah. He was given the wisdom, the logic of the Quran. This is what it was a blessing to him, but it was also a blessing to all of humanity for all time. And I think that we take that in terms of the two together, you know, in terms of helping to bring us back to that original nature, because I think about Surah Al-Rahman, Al-Rahman, Al-Malik, and Kalaka Insan, Al-Ma Huma Bayan, that Allah is saying and telling us that he's the one that taught the Quran. And he's the one that creates the man. So obviously, we know we're not talking about a physical creation. Your insights with this in terms of looking at Eid al-Fitr, you know, the recurring happiness, Mubarak, the blessing of being able to return, how much impact does the Quran help in terms of that returning, in addition to fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan? Imam Munir, your insight.
Yeah, well, I think you said it well. I mean, not for me to say. You said it, you know. The discipline that you were under, then you reap the benefit of the reoccurring good habits, following those good habits. If you keep those good habits going, then you will have that reoccurring happiness, that reoccurring spirit. You won't allow someone. There's several people who call me. You one of the few people I answered the phone call. Several people call me to bother me about different things. And I said, I refuse to give my spirit to negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, during Ramadan and then after. Why? Because developing the habits of reading the Quran, praying, saying in dua, constantly asking Allah to forgive you and have mercy on you all day long while
yes.
you're fasting, you know, I just was so in awe of God that I refused to give my goods to negative
mm-hmm.
things.
Yes,
and
sir.
That comes from that comes from what? Habit, good habit forming.
Yes,
so that,
sir.
So that you invite this reoccurring spirit. You invite
mm-hmm.
the God's mercy, God's forgiveness to continuously to keep coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
mm-hmm.
So the establishment of good habits and keeping up with those good habits, you know, will keep you along that pattern of being happy and being joyous about God's
yes.
mercy touching you and you feel God's presence
yes,
in your
sir.
Life, you know, despite
yes,
all
sir.
Obstacles and all the trials and tribulations.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
That's why we say Eid Mubarak. That's why we're so happy, man. We're so joyous.
Yeah,
it's
high spirited, you know. I know it was here in the STL, St. Louis. It was very high spirited. I know where you were, it's very high spirited, and rightfully so. I mean, this is no what we say. This is no small potatoes here. This is a
yeah.
fast unlike any other fast, and traditionally,
mm-hmm.
what it is that we do. We're fasting while feasting on the Quran, God's word of revelation for the elevation of the human
mm-hmm.
being
mm-hmm.
in returning to that original nature. And Allah has a will and plan for everything, including his human creation, and to be in accord with that, to be submissive, submitting to that, be obedient to that. This is in accord with the natural pattern of the whole of Allah's creation, and to understand
mm-hmm.
that we have a free will and freely surrender that will. Like you say, don't want to exercise your will. I
mm-hmm.
mean, this is what gets a human being in trouble. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just think about it. You know, when
mm-hmm.
we become unconscious of Allah's will, we become unconscious of God's word, his will, and his way. And you know what they old saying, where there's a will, there's a way? Oh,
mm-hmm.
well, you want God's way. Well, okay, so
right.
What way do you want me to live this life? How do you want me to relate, you know, in marriage? Like, how do you want me to relate in family? How do you want me to relate in neighbor, being a good neighbor? How do you want me to relate as a community member? How do you want me to relate to humanity? How do you want
mm-hmm.
me to relate? Not the
right.
way I want to relate.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take my socialized, acculturated self that has been influenced by the shaitan. I mean, we have to understand that. So this is a cleansing. This is a purification. This is a cultivation. Yes, all of that. So we have a whole lot to be happy about. I want to say to our radio listening audience that we have, we're at the top of the hour. We want to give you an opportunity. If you have a question or comment that you'd like to make, or if what you're hearing from our guest tonight, a very distinguished guest, one of my very learned imams in association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, is my guest here at the MGM Roundtable, Imam Munir Muhammad. This is your opportunity to press 1 and come into the queue. So I'll go back to you, Rashid Salam. If we don't, maybe they're just soaking it all up tonight, because I know it's some excellent information that's being disseminated tonight. Rashid Salam, you got a question? You got a comment or what?
Hey, I'm like a sponge, my good brother. I'm just thankful and blessed. I am feasting. I want you to know that. I'm having a wonderful time. You know, I am not going to interfere. I have no question. He's been very thorough, and I surely appreciate you, my good brother. It's been a wonderful time spending this time with you tonight.
You
yes,
know,
thank you.
Yes, sir. You know, Imam Munir, hopefully we'll get my engineer there to Inkster this year for the Labor Day weekend because he's going to be in for a special treat. He's heard about it, and this is a good opportunity to get a plug in terms of that. You know, I'm saying this, and I'm endorsing this. It's not Imam Munir Muhammad. He's the director of the DNA, the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention that's held each and every year, Labor Day weekend. And the reason I support that is because they support our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. They support the request that he made in terms of getting a place that we could call our own, that we could have our own conventions, our own conferences, or whatever it may be as a community in our own, to have our own. This didn't change from the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to the Honorable Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. That never changed. So let's get that straight. Let's please get that straight. And those of us like myself that was in the old Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that spirit never have left me. We would go out of our way in traveling to support, first and foremost, a Muslim business. A Muslim business. Then it was an African-American business if we couldn't get to a Muslim business. You know, but this is intelligent. This is what intelligent, civil-minded people do. It just don't make sense to take out monies and give it to other ethnic groups, and we get nothing in return for that. It just don't make sense. I'm not getting on my soapbox in terms of that, but you should have that experience. It's a different experience. It takes me back to when I first came into the Nation of Islam, to be sitting on in and on your own property. There's no notes on it. It's been paid for. This should pique our curiosity. I was just, you know, a lot of times people go to something that they haven't experienced. I just have to experience it. I need to experience it. Let your natural curiosity that you should have, you know, as being a member in this community, as we're supposed to be in the association with Imam W.D. Muhammad. And if we're in association, do we know what it is? How we associate with him, his vision, his mission, and all in regards to this community, how important that is. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it very well. You never get the respect of other people until you begin to start doing something for yourself.
Yes, sir.
And the Imam never asked us to relinquish. He never asked us to relinquish that. All the good things that his father gave to us. I heard the Imam say, not only publicly, but when I was in his presence in the last 5 or 6 years of his life, being a part of the security, as Imam changed that to another thing in terms of community service. So I know I love Imam W.D. Muhammad because I had the opportunity 2 weeks before his transition, as we were and him back to Chicago as we was on our way back to St. Louis. And I hugged Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, and I said to our leader, Brother Imam, I love you, and I appreciate all it is that you do for us. And he said back to me, yes, and I love you and all that you do for this community. I'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum. Those are the last words I said to my beloved leader. It's 2 weeks before his transition. Imam Muhammad loved this community, and he didn't want to see us be gouged by people that were desensitized and was looking out for their own self-interest. Our Imam loved us to the point where he's always going to tell us the right thing to do for ourselves. He never abandoned that. I just had to say that. So those of you who have never been to Inkster, Michigan, for the convention, the DNA convention, this is an opportunity. You know, you can still start.
Well, Mark,
yes.
Mark, can I say this?
Yes, sir.
To echo what you're saying, we just had, it's Eid, right? The third day of Eid.
Yes, sir.
And we're here in Inkster, Michigan at our own Muslim skating rink. A brand new billboard up there that says
Allahu Akbar.
That says welcome.
Yes,
Inkster Family Skating Rink. Skate to positive music, E-Mobotic.
Allahu Akbar.
Right? This is what it says. If you eventually, I'll put some stuff out on Facebook and you see pictures and stuff. But then we go inside. What you just were saying, we have an 89-year-old pioneer, Brother Buster Green.
Yes, sir.
Who still works circles around people.
Oh, yeah. And I got an opportunity to see him and meet him. Yes, sir.
Yeah. He put on skates and had one of those trainer things. He said, he was so happy. He was so happy and said he took a picture of one of my sons and said that, you know, he said, these are the days that we pray for.
Allahu Akbar.
This is 89-year-old pioneer putting on skating with
89 years old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 89 years young.
Okay. Let's change that language. Yeah. 89 years young. Yes, sir. Yes, sir,
yeah.
Baby.
So, to support and echo what you said, you know, this is a blessed time. Despite all that's going on in the world, despite all that we have experienced here in the United States of America, we are able to enjoy Eid at our own Muslim skating rink in our own facility. And like you said, we're able to host our own Islamic convention in our own facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no debt. No debt. Nobody knocking at the door. You
debt
know,
free.
Bothering us. You know.
Debt free.
You know. I mean,
yes,
sometimes our people can't believe it. They can't believe that African American men or African American people and then Muslims, you can't believe it. It gotta be something else going on.
I know. You know, instead of getting the respect, we become a suspect when we're doing the right thing. That's what you say. Right. It becomes almost unbelievable. How they do that? Right? Where did they get the? Allah blesses whom He pleases, what He pleases. And our brother, our imam, was very wise and very astute. He knew the people to go to, and he knew the ones that he could make a request to that he knew that would carry out that responsibility in regards to that. So I'm saying to our radio listening audience, wherever you may be listening from, treat yourself. Treat yourself this year. Make a decision. I guarantee you, if you come to the DNA, and actually, I could say more about that, but I'll say this, that the progress that the Muslims have made with the property and what it is in terms of development and all of this, it actually saved the city of Inkster. It saved the city of Inkster. And so Imam Munir here, he can attest to what I'm saying. There's so much as a rich history there in Inkster. It was just a perfect place to establish what it was that Imam Muhammad wanted. And I know you understand, you can feel the Imam's spirit. This is what the Imam wanted. So ask yourself, would Imam Muhammad want it any other way than having our own? I mean, just think about that. How well do you know Imam Waqfuddin Muhammad? How well do you know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? I mean, just think about that. So, no, my loyalty is being with my leader and what it is. There's a certain amount of pride and dignity that we have to have as people. And if we don't establish and have a material reality, Imam Muhammad said we'll be looking like spook people. He referred to it as spook people. You have all this good talk, but you have nothing to show for it. So we can't afford to be spook people. I tell you, Brother Imam Munir, excellent insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with, you know, and I thank you for accepting my invitation on short notice and as always, you've done an excellent job on the topic that we have, and I'm always going to continue to promote the DNA. I want you to know it's my desire and my intent to try to get a busload from the STL here, you know, and we shouldn't have to be pulling on those of us that say that we're in this association, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We should be able to show our support for those persons that are dedicated and committed to establishing something of our own. And we should take pride in that. When one community accomplished something, we should see that as accomplishment for all of us. We had that pride at one time, and we need to, you're talking about reoccurring, we need that to reoccur in our community. I could say a lot more about that, but I think I've said enough for tonight. I want to thank you, Imam Munir Muhammad, and I want to give you an opportunity for any closing remarks or any information that you would like to share with our radio listening audience before we close this session of the MGM Roundtable Dial. Brother Imam?
Well, sir, I just say thank you again. I say Eid Mubarak to everyone. And as you said, you can visit us at www.dnamuslimconvention.com. That's dnamuslimconvention.com. And if you wanted to see some of the things that were posted today about the Eid here at the skating, third day of Eid celebration at the skating rink, you can go to my Facebook page. I think I put a live recording up there speaking about a few things. And we just say Eid Mubarak and may Allah continue to bless you. After you finish celebrating, consider what the Prophet said and fast 6 days in the month of Shawwal so that we can be assured that our sins will be forgiven.
Yes.
I say assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. And we want you to know that you always got an open invitation here on IWDM Radio, and particularly here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. We'll be looking at having Imam Munir Muhammad as we get closer. Seems like this year just began, and we're already in the fifth month of the Gregorian calendar of May. And so Labor Day will be up on us before we know it, and so I know that they probably already have started making plans, and inshallah, God willing, that we'd like to get him back a little bit before that time so he can give us information on the theme. It's always a theme of the convention they have, and just what's being planned for 2022. The DNA, as he is the director of that. And so I am encouraging you to pay a visit. Pay a visit there. It's like none other in terms of convention. You feel right at home. It's like down home. Down home food. Food is excellent. The camaraderie and all the spirit is high and everything. So do yourself a favor and look at making plans to attend the 2022 DNA. So with that being said, that closes out IWDM Radio tonight. Special thanks to our special guest at the roundtable, one of our very learned imams, Imam Munir Muhammad, longtime resident imam there in Durham, North Carolina, at the WDM Muhammad, the WDM Islamic Center there in Durham, North Carolina. Join us tonight. Excellent insight tonight on our topic on Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Mubarak, and all. Want to thank, special thanks go to our engineer, Rashid Salam, for engineering both of the productions tonight, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. A special thanks to my co-host and co-facilitator, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and her insight and wisdom that she shared on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And a special thanks to our radio listening audience, because without you, there could not and would not be IWDM radio and none of these productions that we have coming on air through the week. Want to say, remind you that tomorrow the Sister Learning Lab, which is a courtship and marriage learning lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining yours truly, Mark Shahid, on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we're going to have like a open line tomorrow. So any questions, any concerns that you have in terms of the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and the sacred institution of marriage from an Islamic perspective, we invite you to have your questions, your comments, and everything available for us. We may have a special guest facilitator, but if not, it'll be Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid, in regards to that. So this will be an open line tomorrow. So periodically I will do that. And we want you to know that the following week we will be going into the premarital questionnaire that will help those who are seeking a mate in terms of the five categories and questions, in terms of helping to direct the conversation in regards to the things that you should and need to be talking about, should be of interest and concern for those who are aspiring to be married. So that will be happening in 2 weeks. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day. For those of you who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And Salatul Jumu'ah is 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio each and every Friday, Salatul Jumu'ah Day. And this Sunday, it is the longest standing production of IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Sounds familiar? Words Make People, once again, with Imam Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon, Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. We ask that you do tune in. You always have very intriguing guests and also topics that are pertinent to us. We do ask that you keep Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir in your duas, as he informed me he was to be, I guess, his father transitioned, and he was in the process of making arrangements for his father. Just think, his father was blessed to live 92 years, so we ask that Allah bless the soul of Imam Mikhail Sahir's father. We ask that he bless his soul, forgive his father any faults, any sins, any errors, any shortcomings that he may have had in this life. And if it's Allah's will and by his permission, that he would admit him to the paradise. We also ask that Allah would bless Imam Sahir and his family, increase him in faith in him, in love for him, and obedience to him. And to that we say, I mean. At the beginning of the week here on IWDM Radio, another one of our outstanding productions, hosted by the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his reoccurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid on Centometry, who he's the instructor, teacher of that, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is an excellent opportunity to learn about the science of your health and you. There's a science, and Allah is the author of the science of everything in the creation. That includes the human being. So this is an excellent opportunity to get that information and education in regards to that. That happens each and every Tuesday here on IWDM Radio. And we're back to our regular time. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is with Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, each and every Tuesday. And it brings us back to the night. As you heard earlier, with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. She won't be with me next week, so we'll be looking at having a special guest facilitator. Or I may be flying solo, and that means I'll be doing a monologue, which I don't like, though I've had a special person that requested. Mark Shaheed, I want you to do a monologue, but always dialogue is better. So Allah's the best knower, so we'll see. And so if I don't have a special guest facilitator, then you'll have me doing a monologue here on IWDM Radio on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean is due to return on the 18th of May. We ask that you tune in, and that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. I want to remind you to support the Muslim Journal, as that is the lifeblood of our community, as the Muslim Journal has supported us down through the years. So we ask that you continue to donate to the Muslim Journal. Take out an extra subscription if you haven't given out any e-gifts. That would be a wonderful e-gift to give to a family member, to a friend, a neighbor, a pioneer in the community. Or to your local library, so many people that visit the library, they can actually be a privilege to read the Muslim Journal and what it is that we are all about. So with that being said, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always, and a blessed Eid Mubarak to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.